the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkel.
And I am Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad that you're here. It's been a while, but everything's still the same. So if you want, go ahead and shoot us an email. If you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share with us on the road, our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. You can go ahead and shoot us an email and share your stories, and we'll have you on the show to share with the audience. It's going to be a great time, so just go ahead and do it. And if you don't want to do it that way, go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us, to just get a hold of us. And if you want to stay prepared out on the road where the weather's crazy, you never know how long you'll be stuck somewhere, go to preparewiththll.com. That's preparewiththll.com. And there you can get yourself emergency food for that emergency in your life, whether it's at home, on the road. You want to make sure you're prepared at preparewiththll.com.
Yes. And just think about last year and now put that into 2021 and tell me you don't need to be prepared for whatever emergency comes down the road. Last year should have shown us emergencies happen
all the time. And this year, if you're in the Northeast, we've had like a dozen snowstorms, it feels like. And last year we didn't have any. And so we see in accidents, people getting stranded. I actually passed a car after our blizzard that we had, that it was a Camaro on the side of the road. He couldn't make it anywhere. He had to abandon his vehicle. And it was literally like 2 days later, still the whole thing was covered in snow from top, front, back. All you could see was a little bit of the brake light at one point. And I was just like, dang, man. And then as it started melting, I was like, oh, that's a Camaro? Like, I was like, bro, what are you thinking, even having it out during the snowstorm? But anyways, yeah, preparewiththll.com for that emergency in your life. We have a lot of stuff on there, food that lasts up to 25 years on the shelf. And if you buy, the 4-week supply will knock $70 off for you right there on the spot. So there you go, preparewiththll.com. Now, we have a voicemail line that's there operating. We have not done voicemails in quite a few weeks because, listen, the snow hindered this show.
Yes,
that's why
did.
There was no show last week, because we literally couldn't get to the studio. Well, I could because I live here, but you couldn't make it for about 3 weeks because of the snowstorms hitting on Sundays. We had to cancel the interviews, reschedule. It was crazy. And so we didn't go through the voicemails, and we have a whole backlog. So instead of going through them today, because we got a really good interview today with Tony, and it's actually a pretty long interview.
Yeah.
So instead of going through the voicemails today, we're actually going to do a special voicemail show. We're going to just do voicemails on an episode where we go through them, talk about them, just have some fun. So the voicemail line is 515-585-MERK, M-E-R-K, or 515-585-6375. Call that voicemail line. Leave us a voicemail of your weird, crazy, wild experience on the road. We don't care what it is or whatever it is. Go ahead and give us a call and tell us your story from the road. If it's more than 15 minutes, though, I'm telling you straight up, don't call the show.
Or email us, contact us, and let's get you on.
Just get on the show. We want to hear the story, and we want to actually talk to you in person. Did I say story?
Story.
Story.
Get on, and we want to hear your story.
Story. I had somebody tell me yesterday when I was talking to people that I have an accent. I don't know what that accent is, but you know, maybe the more I hear myself talk, maybe I have just a stupid accent of I can't speak good.
I can't speak good. Crazy. I don't speak gooder.
I don't speak gooder. Anyways, go ahead and give us a call on the voicemail line, 515-585-MERK, M-E-R-K, or 6375, and we'll get those voicemails on a special upcoming show where it's just going to be straight up voicemails on that episode. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I think it's a good way to handle it, because we got a backlog. We got about 10 voicemails we need to go through.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. So let's
That'd
just
be a
do
lot
it.
Of fun. Yep.
Yeah. So give us a call.
Add to the backlog.
Absolutely. Add to the backlog. We always want the voicemail. So give us a call right there on the voicemail line. Dad, who do we got this week? I know I mentioned Tony, but what did we talk to him about?
We are talking to him about his experiences as a Schmed X driver.
A Schmed X driver.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were supposed to keep it hush hush as far as where he works and stuff. And then he let the cat out of the bag. And then he's like, I don't care. So he was calling it by the name. He's calling it by Schmed X. He's calling it by XYZ. You get the hint. And yeah. I think you already know who we're talking about. So let's get to Tony right now. All right, today we got Tony on the show. Tony, this is Tony. How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
Hey, Dad, happy say hi.
It's nice to talk with you, Tony. How's everything going?
Oh, another day in paradise here.
Oh, man, I love to hear that.
Yeah. So, Tone, you have been driving for XYZ Company for 6 years. And you also said that you pursued protection services and you got a lot of stories, man. And I just want to start off with attacked on my route by an African Mastiff. I was like, what the freak? Let's talk about that.
Okay. So we're going to keep the XYZ part for this company.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So, like I mentioned before, I'm single dadding it. And sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get there, to punch in and punch out. And I brought my son with me at the time, and he was 13. And, you know, they're all into their gadgets and devices and stuff, not paying attention to the outer world. But I had to make an alcohol delivery to this house. And when you make a delivery for alcohol, you have to get a signature. And this was right in the middle, smack downtown of Red Bluff, California. And so, you know, I'm pulling up. I see what I got to deliver. I scan it. Needs a signature. It's alcohol. This yard has no signs posted. So I'm pulling in, thinking nothing. My son, he's sitting there on his phone in the passenger side. I'm getting out, grabbing this box of alcohol. And here comes what I was told later were African Mastiffs, because they're well known in the neighborhood. And they're coming up, no indication of aggression or anything. And I got a box of alcohol. I love dogs. I'm like, oh, doggy. I put the box down. I go to put my hand out. One of them goes behind me. And when I go to watch the other one that goes behind me, which I guess that's one of their tactics, the other one starts taking a chunk out of my hand. And wow. I got this package delivery scanner. And it's like, it's the old school one. It's like a brick. And I instinctively, I just start going boom, boom, boom in the nose, because it's got a piece of me. My son has no clue this is going on.
Wow.
I'm just beating this dog down. I'm trying to walk in front of the van so he can see me. And I can see that he's like on his phone. It's because I want him to shut the door so he's safe, you know, and right. I can figure out how to get him out. So I'm like luring this dog out the gate. Just beating this dog. The other one's just watching me. Like it must have been the female just watched me beat the mate. And I get out the gate and they stay in the yard. Like, I don't know, some kind of territorial thing, but he's not pursuing me no more. And I'm looking at my son and he's not even paying attention. So I get on my phone, call him up, and I see him kind of like get this questionable look on his face, answers the phone and looks up and sees me. I go, son, you're going to need to close the door to that van. And instant waterworks. He's crying. He gets over, closes the door, and I go to go back in the yard. Well, they're coming at me. And, you know, as a parent, like, I want to make a rush for this truck, but I don't know how risky it's going to be to my child.
Right.
So I'm on the phone. I'm like, son, you're going to have to drive this van. He goes, what? I said, going to be like Grand Theft Auto, but you're not going to be hitting anything. Okay. So get in the driver's seat. You know, I told him how to properly set up, and he's driving out. He's taking it nice and slow, and I'm guiding him through, and he catches the gate of this yard and rips my slider door clean off, comes out. I'm like, oh my God, he parks out. He's safe. I get him out. Now I have to go in this yard to get my slider door out. Wow. So I'm walking in with my hand up in my scanner, grab the slider door, drag it out. Contractor comes and meets me. We get the door on. All these people are out there because they're scared. You know, they heard the ruckus. You know, there's a disabled person's bus pulling in. They're like, yeah, these dogs get out every week. You know, yeah, they're pretty vicious. Like, there's no thing. And so I got to go to the hospital. And I don't know if you've had rabies shots, but that's a series of shots over 9 days.
Wow.
And it's two shots, but three sets of them. So you get one in your shoulder, one in your hip, and one in your ass. And the owners were out of town. We couldn't identify the status of these dogs, whether they had anything or not. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the hospital, and I tell you what, this chick was a pro. She put those shots between her fingers like this, and I think she enjoyed giving the shots in the ass, because those were exceptionally painful. She's like, I'll see you tomorrow. Always a smile on her face when she sees me over these. Wow. But yeah, that was intense for our kids and my kid, and minimum wage.
Wow. Dude.
So how did that whole thing evolve after that? I mean, did the owners ever surface and claim responsibility for what their dogs did to you?
See, they were, I went in the hospital, they wanted someone to pass the bill off on. Right. And workman's comp in California, unless you were flatlined by a steamroller and had the company name on it, they're really hard about doing anything for you. Wow. And it's a big fight. So basically we just got a hold of the owners, because we had the number from the package of the alcohol, called their house, and let them know what happened, and told them, hey, look, if you could take care of this bill, we don't got to say anything about your dog. Dog lives, and let live. And they took care of the bill. We never heard from them. It was just a silent process.
So they never told you how to pay for the gate either?
No, I don't think they cared. I think they're happy that their exotic dogs live to see another day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We had a crazy dog growing up, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Tell some stories about that dog.
I'll tell you one story about that dog. I saw Tony out there walking a dog when he was a kid.
Yes.
It was hilarious. I mean, this dog was a wild dog. He was a big German Shepherd mix.
And there was something off upstairs.
Oh, yeah. Like, he was not right. He was a pretty nasty dog.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I see the dog go running across the yard. And then I see Tony being dragged behind the dog, holding on to the leash. Oh. Just, whoa, what the heck?
Like, I literally went for a ride.
It was hilarious. Not for him, but for me, it was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a crazy dog.
That was crazy. Yeah. There were so many stories from that crazy dog. And we had to put him down, or else we would have gotten sued off, Like, after, he bit like three times before
he went through, he ran right through the screen door, right through the bottom of the metal part of a screen door, just ran through
just to get after people.
You know, it's just, it's the way, sometimes it's just the way it is, it's just nothing you can do about it. And eventually you just wind up, having to get rid of them.
Yeah. There was one night, I think I remember, I wasn't there, it was you, so you may not remember this, but I remember you telling me, and I remember this because the whole neighborhood, we lived in a trailer park, and there's this whole neighborhood of kids. And this one kid, Tony, he had a dog named Tank. It was a German Shepherd, and it was a big dog. And as kids, we're like, I got the toughest dog, this, that, and the other. And everybody said Tank was the toughest dog because he was huge. His name was Tank and everything. And I wasn't there for it, but one night, I guess Tank wandered into our yard. And our dog was named Tucker.
Tucker got after him.
Tucker got after him. And all you hear is, and then Tucker comes prancing back into the yard and stuff. And I was like,
Tank was no longer the coolest dog in the neighborhood.
You usually hear Tank, you think badass.
Yeah, exactly.
I met a roller derby chick named Tank, and she's pretty badass.
Yeah, that ought to be a sign right there. If you're dating a chick named Tank.
Yeah. If my name was Tucker, it would have meant Tucker and Run.
Yeah. No, this dog, there's no match for a dog that is a little loose upstairs. Like, I mean, he was not right. I mean, I'm talking like he broke his glass water bowl just to eat it. Like, he was crazy. Like, the dog was nuts.
Yeah, he was crazy.
I there's one more story I gotta tell about Tucker. It's gone. I forget it now. I literally forget the story I was gonna tell.
We're getting to that age where things like that slip our mind.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're my age. Things really like that. Everything slips your mind.
Jeez. I mean, he was just a crazy dog. I mean, it was just insane. But anyways, that was my dog story.
But that's nuts, though. I mean, it's crazy. And you wonder, how do people like that, like the people with the African Mastiffs, how do they deal with that on a daily basis? I mean, your dog at any point could be attacking somebody. And that was what we struggled with. And it was just at some point you have to just get, I don't care how, exotic your dog is. He wasn't exotic. Our dog was just a German Shepherd mixed dude. So it wasn't like he was anything special other than crazy. So, but I mean, because that can get
That's pretty exotic.
That's true. Demon in him.
I'm telling you, man. Like that dog, he would pull the linoleum off the kitchen floor to eat it, and he would eat it and digest it and poop it out, and he'd live.
Yeah,
he ate an entire bottle of aspirin.
Yep,
like nothing killed the dog.
Nothing, like, nothing at all.
When we had to put him down, I was like,
whole bottle of Tums or something.
You'd think so, right? You'd be looking for something, but anyway,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know. It's just like when I think about delivery guys coming to the house or anything like that, that would just worry me. And knowing if I had dogs the size of African Mastiffs, I mean, a Mastiff is not a small dog in any, you know, any. I don't care what, yeah, you know, what delineation of Mastiff they're big.
Solid, yeah, solid dogs.
Exactly. Yeah. So that would worry me, you know, because I mean, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen, you know?
Yeah. And that's a funny thing. You know, you guys obviously know we're in crazy California.
Right.
And, you know, if you fart one way and you don't gender identify the fart, you can get sued.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a kind of like a conundrum here where if you post signs that your dog may bite,
right,
then you're acknowledging there's a risk.
Right.
Whereas, you know, this yard had no signs.
Because
they're kind of caught in like a catch 21 on that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the thing that gets me though is like, if you ordered alcohol, you knew you had to sign for it. I mean, there's three. I just ordered wine for somebody. Irrelevant story. Mm-hmm. Long story short, I just ordered wine for somebody on the down low as a Valentine's gift, and they think a stalker got it. They don't know I got it. I'm running with it. I had to go through like three processes of acknowledging that someone had to be there to sign for it and had to be 21 and older. So you know that that's going to happen.
Or if you're going to order stuff like that, set it up that you'll pick it up at XYZ. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you'll come and pick it up rather than having it delivered to the house.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, I assume that if you work for AA, you wouldn't want alcohol dropped out.
That's true.
There's just some places are like, whoa, you're ordering alcohol? Calm down, Les.
Great point.
Oh, man. So you're driving for XYZ, and I'm assuming this is when this happened to you. You got into it with a bunch of hood dudes. Or maybe they got in, or maybe they just went in on you. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So there's a street in Reading called LeBrun, and you know, I'm from Hood. I mean, I'm from Shasta Lake, and people hear Shasta Lake, but you know, I'm from respectable Hood. Like, if I see you at Circle K, you know, if I have a problem with you, I got to squash it then, because I'm going to see you at the grocery station, I'm going to see you at the gas station, I'm going to see you at the pharmacy. It's got to be handled then. But in Redding, California, it's a little spread out to where you won't see them in the Walmart for 4 months down the road. So there's hoods in Redding that are disrespectful kind of hoods. Okay. And so I'm pulling it. So I'm making a delivery to a preschool in the hood. And this place is locked down like a mini prison. So I have to pull onto this road, which isn't even part of my route. My route actually cuts off, but I have to pull on this road to be legal to park to make this delivery. And then I swing back out and I get on the main road. Well, it just so happens a bunch of court school, alternative school kids were getting out of school and they're getting dropped off right there. And I'm at the stop, and LeBrun is pretty famous too for people hitting and running you in a vehicle. So I'm waiting for my turn. School's getting out, so traffic's just nuts. Getting into the turning lane is damn near impossible. So I'm sitting there and I feel like a bump. I'm like, oh shit, somebody hit me. So I flip on my, my rear view camera, and there's like four kids on my bumper bouncing. I'm like, shit. I'm just happy I'm not, you know, I didn't get hit by a vehicle.
Right.
So I put the car, it's a P1000, one of the big 18 footers, and I put in park and I get out and I said, hey, get off the bumper. Well, one of them, this Justin Timberlake looking dude, starts walking down. And mind you, like, it took me till like mid 30s to grow this shit. This kid grew this, I don't know, like 16 hormones in his milk or something. He's like a head and shoulders taller than me. So I know that he's a kid, but he looks old enough to be my dad. So he's walking up, and he goes, excuse my language. I'm going to have to censor myself.
You can say whatever.
What the F are you going to do about it? I said, just keep walking, kid. Just keep walking. Well, there's the main traffic, and then there's the door to my P1000. And I'm not about to let this 16, 17-year-old kid, I don't care how big he is, take my truck. That's my job.
Yeah.
So I'm walking back in my truck. I'm like, just keep walking, kid. And I turn around, look, he's taking his bag and stuff off. I'm like, no. You know, keep walking, keep going. We're not doing this. He comes up, spits in my face.
Wow.
And that's when I start taking my shit off. And then he goes to swing at me and I dodge under it. I grab him up and I come from a background of grappling. That means, you know, when you're that close to me, that's a headbutt, that's a belly to belly suplex, all that good stuff. And that's what I did. I slammed in the ground and then all these little hoodlums out of nowhere on top of me. So I got to use like their leverage to slam one this way, grab the other one, slam them this way. And finally, like I'm getting dogpiled. They're coming out of the woodwork. I am in. School is getting out and I'm getting taken to school of hard knocks.
Wow.
So the first one I slammed, still collecting himself, like that big bearded Justin Timberlake, that's all he was image. So I wrapped up on him, put him in a chokehold, and I'm holding him and I'm keeping his body as like defensive distance for myself. And they're coming up at me and they're like trying to like position around me to like get it, you know, come in on me. I said, you guys come any closer, I'm gonna pop this kid's head like a zit. I'm holding them, and then a parent comes up out of nowhere and like chicken wings me. He's like, let go of him, let go of him. I said, I'm not letting go of him until you get these kids off me. And then, so the people came out of the business, start spacing it out. And one kid from the group runs into my truck, grabs my Oakleys. And if you know how expensive those are, smashes them on the ground, says, that's what you get, cracker. And I'm like, jeez, this kid's a tone lighter than I am. That's how loud this place is.
Wow.
I'm Spaniard and native. So to be hit with cracker, it's like, okay, I got anemia. All right, I'll give you that cracker. Anyways, they call the police on me. And this is how much faith my contractor has in me. So I told him, you know, I got attacked first. I'm defending myself. You know, Bebe's kids jump me on the corner here. And I'm just doing what I got to do. So the police officers came. They took my statement. The parents came and said, yeah, my kids are shitheads. I believe it. They did something like that. One of them's 18. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
My contractor's standing 50 feet away on the other side of the street. I think he's just there to see if I'm going to go to jail or not, or finish my shift. See if he has to call somebody else up.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's how Smedex works. You know, if I was dead tomorrow, they'd call me in my casket. Hey, brother, I know you're going to hell, but you think you can come in after you serve eternity in purgatory? Yeah.
Typical trucking company.
But yeah, I ended up getting cleared of any wrongdoing. I went back, and then the head of Smedex security meets with me, and we've already butt heads before, me and this guy. And the first thing he asked me, he goes, so the report says one of the kids was bleeding. I said, okay, yeah. He goes, did you close fist hit one of them? I'm like, they're all bigger than me, but I can tell you no right now. I knew what I had to do, controlled holds, submissions. I did not close fist hit these guys. He goes, good, because then you'd have been fired. And I'm wow. like, I'm outnumbered. But, you know, I pursued, you know, my pursuits towards law enforcement for the last 12 years before I did this. I knew there's a gray line when it comes to juveniles, even though they can grow a better beard than I can.
Man,
that is crazy. That's a crazy story, dude. Holy cow.
Even when you're outnumbered, you can't hit a juvenile.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that whole story is crazy.
That is, isn't it?
And I'm sitting here thinking, man, like if my employer tells me that, good, I'm glad you didn't punch anybody because then I would have fired you. It's like, hold on, you like I was literally jumped by dudes, like, and you're telling me you're going to fire me for fighting back. Like I could have lost my life, but I should be conscious enough to remember, oh, just in case I don't lose my life today, don't punch anybody or else I'll lose my job.
Don't close that fist.
Like that's just backwards.
Hey, it's the worst thing. It's been worse than that. I mean, the whole reason, one of the main reasons I can't pursue law enforcement anymore is when I was up and coming, I arrested a city council member's kid. And shortly afterwards, this guy was breaking in my car. I end up subduing him and I end up getting his knife out of his hands after he already stabbed me, severed my two fingers. I mean, I don't know if you can see this, but there's a pattern, cross pattern where I reattached my fingers on my hand.
Yeah.
And he's on PCP. Like, I had to think whether or not I was going to stab this guy with his own knife to save my life because I was under the scrutiny of a court situation where I arrested somebody's kid. I didn't get the memo that city council members' kids couldn't break the law.
Yeah.
So I had to actually think before defending my life. So it's not the first time I've had to actually think, like, is my life worth more than this other guy's?
Right.
So,
jeez, man.
That is crazy.
So you pursued law enforcement for how long? 12 years?
Yeah, I did everything in any kind of security you could do. I worked for Department of Homeland Security, did federal contract work. I signed up with the College of the Redwoods, was going through the grooming program through Eureka PD, and just tragedy after tragedy. I mean, like I said today, this whole interview today wouldn't have happened. That's the story of my life. Right. It just, by a miracle.
Unreal, man. Unreal.
Well, we're glad for the miracle, because this has been a crazy freaking ride so far.
Yeah, holy crap. I'm just sitting here trying to imagine like what I would be thinking and going through mentally, knowing that I'm getting jumped by a bunch of kids. Because I know, like, when as you were telling the story, I was thinking to myself, they're kids. So they're kids. You know, like, yeah. I'm trying to think.
The sad thing is that if they're old enough to act like that, they're old enough to get a beat down.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They were on probation. And, you know, I'm average size guy. I'm 5'11". And 190, these guys are head and shoulders taller than me. And, you know, obviously, if you can tell by my voice, I haven't hit puberty yet. So my voice is a little light. So, you know, had I not known I was by a school, I wouldn't, you know, I probably would have mistaken them for at least 18 and up. But right. I knew that, pause for caution, these may be juveniles.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
But that is just crazy. I mean, it's a shame. But and that is, I mean, it's the boat that we're all in. I mean, if you got to deal with something like that, you know, we're all adults. And you got to deal with, you know, 16-year-olds who look like 30-year-olds trying to take you out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Or
at least take you down.
Criminals got more rights nowadays, it seems. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, you know, when I did loss prevention, asset protection for stores, you know, I'd catch a guy who was just stealing a new clean pair of drawers. And yeah, you didn't have to steal Calvin Klein, but my heart felt for you. Right. And I wanted to release him. But it's like, if I release him and he goes down the street and says, hey, I was just arrested by this guy. Right. And I have no record of it. He can get me for false imprisonment. He can get me for kidnapping. No matter where my heart is on that, I can't let him go once I get him, once I understand the situation. Sure. It's to protect myself, protect the money for my, you know, my family, and don't go to jail.
Wow, that's an interesting perspective. I never really thought about that. I mean, once you apprehend somebody, you have to go through the process at that point. No, and you have to like divorce yourself from the humanity of it, because if you don't, then it's your ass on the line.
Yeah. And that's a struggle. I mean, there's not a lot of room in that field to have a conscience. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do. And, you know, and then there's what your heart tells you. And there's a lot of people that I felt like I could have released. And I think I put them in a process. I mean, the criminal justice system now is so well overdue for reform. And once you're in the system, it's just a pendulum. You're lucky if you get out. And I feel like there's a lot of people I could have released, but I put myself and my family at risk. Just because I felt like it wasn't needed once I discovered what was really going on. But it's just too much of a risk, though.
Well, sure. I heard that Kamala Harris did a really good job on criminal reform in California, isn't that right?
Oh, when she arrested everybody that she was doing the same thing, you know, kind of hypocritical. Yeah.
I must have heard wrong then. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know, there's a few places around here in California that you can get ahead like Kamala Harris did. Pause for get ahead.
I know. I'm thinking in my head. My head is going 15 different directions, and I'm like, I shouldn't say anything. Just keep moving along.
My bad.
Put your head down.
Should let that one alone.
The Department of Homeland Security on a contract. There was one time, you know, we were very pro-military, private military, and I walked in the office one day, and I'm not an ass kisser. I'm sure if I was an ass kisser, my ex-wife has said it many times, we'd be making more money and I'd be a lot further in life, but I've never been raised that way. Mm-hmm. And I walked in the office one day, and one of the officers at the same level as me is, okay, the supervisor, the lieutenant, has his feet up on the desk and he's polishing his boots. And I'm like,
wow.
Whoa. Do you guys need a minute? Do I need to come back?
That's
like
crazy.
I felt like I just walked in on a blowjob.
Yep. You know? How about it? Holy cow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Wow. Yeah. I used to deliver in the hood in Philly, straight truck stuff. And I just know, like, I never got jumped or anything, but I just know, like, the looks you get when you go into an area. And I'm driving a truck, that big sign on Pitt, Ohio. I'm wearing in uniform, and just the looks you get, like, you don't belong here. It's just like, I'm just doing my job, guys. I'm just doing my job. And back in the day, our trucks used to get robbed in Philly all the time. You stop at a certain intersection and it's getting robbed. In fact, when we had a one driver, it was his fault, but he left. And I think he was actually in Center City. He was doing a delivery and he left a computer on the back of the truck because he's walking back and forth.
Wow.
And of course it went missing. And
yeah. You know, surprise.
Like, what do you think's gonna happen, bro? Oh man. If I name drop this guy, like if I let's put it this way, if I name this drop this guy, it would be multiple times you heard him on the show already. Because okay. I've told many stories about this guy.
I'm that guy. In our terminal, I'm that guy.
Oh man. There was a guy that worked with us, he's no longer there, but he drove straight truck and he was in the hood and that was his run every day. And he remembers he was in a bad area, and there was no area for like public bathrooms or anything, and he had to go. So he found an abandoned building, that like a house that had caught a fire. And it had like one of those little.
I can see where this is going. Yeah,
it had one of those little thin alleyways it's that like you walked.
Burned out outhouse.
Yeah, it's like how Uncle Pally's house used to be back in Bethlehem. It had that little walkway.
The alley, yeah.
Yeah. So he found one of those, and he just grabbed like I guess some trash or something and put it in front of him. He squatted down and dropped the deuce right there. I think he even wiped with trash or something.
Wow.
I was just like, you know, you belong in the hood delivering, bro. Like
he
like,
belongs in the Hicks.
Like, what is wrong
Holy
with you?
Cow.
Like, oh man. But anyways, yeah, interesting times, man. Interesting times.
I got two good ones for that follow up to that right there.
Go ahead.
Briefly, there's this one guy. So FedEx, you have a mannequin.
edit that out, Jack. Edit that out.
You know what? Cat's already out of the bag. Fuck it.
Okay. There you go.
So you have a manifest of what you deliver. And this guy had to take a shit. His name was, I think it was Denver. Yeah. So, anyways, he had to take a shit. He's out in a rural area. He's got no toilet paper. There's nowhere. You can't just knock on somebody's door and go take a shit. So he's out in the woods. He goes and takes a shit and he's got nothing to wipe with. So he uses the manifest. He leaves it there.
Oh my word.
The guy identified who it was through his manifest in the shit.
Yeah, it's like, what the heck?
Was it Denver shit in the woods? Now we know.
Yeah. Dude, I literally have a similar story where I think I might share on the word. Show. With the COVID crap, we go to a place and we do these dropping hooks, and I wind up sitting there sometimes 3 hours before I can get in a door. And the one time I go there, I do my drop and I'm doing switches and I'm between the trailers and I'm next to a company called A. Dewey Pyle, and there's a manifest filled with crap because they don't let you in to use the bathroom anymore like
apparently
they used to.
Somebody
and
had
they don't,
to.
They don't have any out or porta potties outside, and so he must have been mad. I know the guy who did it too because he's always there and he's the only one that would have done it. And he drops a deuce in the manifest and he leaves it there. So I see it says A. Dewey Pyle on the manifest. I know exactly who did it. And some of the other drivers.
You can identify the corn.
some of the other drivers have seen it too. And we started calling it A. Dewey Pyle instead of A. Dewey Pyle. Dude, it's crazy. Wow. Like you would think if you're in that situation and stuff, dude, grab something else, man. Not the company's manifest.
You know what? That's why the simple thing is
it just depends on how you feel about the company.
Well, it's true too.
Yeah, true.
But I mean, like I mean, I always have a roll of paper towels in the truck all the time.
Yeah.
You know, just in case. You know, and I use it to clean the windows, but I also use it. Yeah, I mean, it's just simple. You know, it's not when you're in the business long enough, you think. You know, I might be out on the road somewhere in the middle of nowhere and there's not a rest stop or a truck stop or anything around and I might have to go.
Yeah, it's go time.
You know, when it's go time, you know, that's just the way it is.
Well, even when you're in town, like on my route, I had some in-town neighborhoods. It's not, when you got to pee, you can't just make the delivery and then knock said, hey, can I use your restroom? You know, so I'd bring around like a big soda cup with me. And I had one occasion where I just got this soda cup, but I had to go. Like it hit me. You know, I'm getting to that age where there's no warning. It's going to hit you. So I dumped whatever soda I could out and I had to go. So whatever soda I could get out, I dumped it out. Mind you, I had Mountain Dew. So I go in the back of my truck and I top it off, put the lid on it, and I pinch the straw so I know don't drink from this unconsciously.
Right.
And I put it back in my cup holder so the next place I could get, I could dump it out because I'm not going to get caught doing this in the neighborhood.
Right.
So I had a business delivery. I pull up and there's three guys, shady looking guys watching me. And usually that means they're going to do something to my truck. So I took everything personal I could, put it on my person, grabbed my package, ran in to get my signature. And you know, we got some people like, oh, I can't sign for that. You're not signing for any liability. All you're doing is saying I didn't steal the shit.
Right.
And they got to go get somebody to sign. They come back. Well, anyways, about 8 minutes go by and I come back in. Those guys are gone. I get my truck. I'm like, they didn't take anything. I'm driving down the road and something is odd here. My cup is missing. That wasn't Mellow Yellow Boys. Rate me on Yelp.
Wow, that's hilarious.
I hope they took a good old swig of that because I did not have water that day.
That is hilarious. Oh, my word. This is the flattest soda I've ever had.
Oh, man. Oh, does this soda taste like asparagus to you? I don't know.
Just sharing it around.
I just don't know what it might be expired, bro.
It's the right color and everything. Oh, man.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
This is some Dollar Tree Mountain Dew. This is Mountain Dew. Awesome.
Yeah. That is awesome. Holy crap.
That's freaking funny.
Wow.
Oh, man. You talk about justice, you know?
Oh,
that was poetic.
Oh, it is. It is.
The first time I ever, like, even, I was just starting to drive. I was in college and I was 21 years old. And I was doing school bus driving. That's when I got my class B. And during the summertime for extra money, we took these private schools every day, these kids down to the city where they went to private school. Mm-hmm. And some of the buses would just stay down there and parked instead of, you know, you only get 4 hours or whatever it was. It was a half day. And I'm on the bus with another guy that I actually went to school with. And we're sitting there in the seats. And I'm behind him. We're talking and stuff. And all of a sudden he's quiet. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like looking down. And he's like, he's quiet. And then I'm like, dude, what's wrong with you? And I'm just talking to him and stuff. And then he's like, all right, I'm done. I'm like, what? And he pulls his bottle up and he was just sitting there right in front of me, just peeing in a
filling
bottle.
A bottle.
And I was like, what are you doing? Like, what if I would have like been like looked over or something trying to figure out what's wrong with him? Cause he's sitting there just quiet looking down. And then he just gets up, walks to the steps of the bus and just pours it onto the street. I'm like, bro, like what the heck, you know? But you know, that's my first exposure to that. But now I do the same thing. Like, it's just, you gotta go, you know. But speaking of drinks, Slurpee attack, what's up with that, man?
the Slurpee attack.
Okay, so you're any FedEx driver listening right now can relate that. Well, probably not in California. You see, Redding, California, you can take this to the bank, look it up. We've been the hottest place on the planet several times, temperature-wise. I think it's just because Satan has his eye on this place, like the Eye of Saruman. So it gets really hot here. And it gets so hot in the P1000s, you have no AC because they're trying to save on gas costs. The fan, the only thing the fan does is keep that convection heat in the back of the truck. That's all it does. You face that way, and it's like 10 degrees hotter once you walk in that bulkhead to get a package. Wow. It's an oven. And people don't understand that, you know, convection heat, it proliferates your body. It's not just like standing in the sun. You can't escape it. It proliferates you. And anyways, so you keep your doors open as much as you can. I brought a water bottle, and I'd spray it on me like, I'm walking on sunshine, you know, with the fan running. And so I'm driving down this one road and another car. And I tell you what, he's got an arm like freaking Tom Brady. They're driving the opposite way. Full red Slurpee soda. Just chucks it. Nails me in my door.
Wow.
Nails me. And I'm like, oh, by the way, being hit by a Slurpee when you're really hot and that cold.
Thank you. It made you angry?
No, it not. Well, of course it'll make you angry, but it gives you brain freeze.
Yeah,
it
hits you really. Okay,
it's so cold it stuns you while you're driving.
So good.
It wouldn't be so bad. I mean, it was 145 degrees in my truck, and my liquid crystal display on my scanner wasn't functioning. That's how hot it was. It wouldn't be so bad that it cooled me off, but it's Slurpee. And us guys know that when that gets down your jock, your nuts sticking together, trying to make deliveries all day, it ain't happening. That's too much friction. It was already happening while I was driving.
Wow. So
he goes to the intersection. I flip a Yui. I'm fucking pissed. And I go pull my truck up on the side of the road. Like, I look like a maniac. And he's sitting there laughing at the intersection with his buddy. And I'm getting out and I'm like, the law enforcement mind stepped in.
Right.
Nobody at the intersection saw what they did to you. Mm-hmm. You're going to come up looking like an enraged, rightfully so, FedEx driver. dragging this guy out and beating 57 shades of gray off him in the intersection, and no one's going to know why. You know?
Yeah. Oh, I hear it, man. Yeah. I hear it.
I got myself like 10 feet out in the road, covered in Slurpee, and I was just like, not today.
Yeah.
Not today.
The reason why I yelled thank you is because I thought maybe that's where he was going. It's like, thank you so much. Yeah. Like, I needed that. But dude, listen, that feeling, the sticky feeling, man, like, oh my, like he was probably walking around all day shaking his leg like a dog, you know,
trying to do that sideways midday step thing, you know,
oh my you go gosh from sitting to standing up and it's like this.
It's like you got Velcro between your legs all day.
He just waxed his nuts all day.
And you get your shoes wet and it's just like,
yep.
That's what it's like all day.
Oh man.
I was not running that day, I can tell you that. That was not happening.
No, sir.
I would have been so pissed. I would have been so pissed.
Oh my word.
And it's a good thing, man, that you had that training in the background, because if you didn't, dude, you would have pulled him out of that car and beat him senseless. You would have. Because you wouldn't be thinking like that. Like the way you just described to us how you thought about the situation in the moment, no normal person would have thought of that way. No. You're like, I was wrong and I'm gonna murder this dude.
Yep.
And you're thinking,
and that's why I stayed married for 15 years. No normal fucking person does this.
Man, he is happily divorced.
Yes, he is.
That's it's great. For sale right now.
The wedding ring is for sale.
It's not from sales, I can tell you that much.
Oh dude, man. Well, you almost punched those guys in the face, but you did get punched by a customer.
Oh yeah. So
did you punch back?
So he's a proprietor in town, and I'm not going to name him because I've noticed that a lot of people locally are watching right now, but I will say, I will say it in Pig Latin. Asta boot stay off Echelli stay. So the proprietor there, he has no social skills. I mean, we were talking about being your own boss, and that's great. But some people are their own boss because no one wants to hire them. They have zero social skills.
Yeah, they're forced into it.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, you're an asshole and we don't want you to work here. So what else do you do? Go into business, selling boots. But anyways, so he doesn't like the signature thing, but that's part of the process. And when it comes to businesses, I'm not shortcutting on that. If it needs a signature, I'm going to get it, because the times that I thought maybe this time I won't bother him for it, it's backfired. And fortunately, I got a signature and it covered my ass. So he has new employees every 2 weeks. I can only wonder why, because he's kind of an asshole. And every time we get these new employees, I got to tell him, look, you can sign for the package form. It's okay. It's cool. He doesn't want to be bothered when he's working. And they're like, no, I got to go talk to the boss. So same scenario, goes and talks to the boss. And he gets irritated as hell when he's like, why don't you just tell her? Or tell him, tell her. I'm like, I tell him they can sign. They don't listen to me. So we come back there. He's in the middle of an order. It's like rodeo week, I want to say. So he's really busy, you know, he's doing boots. And she comes back and she's like, hey, he needs a signature for the package. Not asking like, hey, can I sign for this? But hey, he needs a signature, like totally forfeiting her role in it. And he looks over at me and he comes up and puts one right in my chest. And wow. I had my shades on, fortunately. I was taught, like, early on in my pursuits of law enforcement, my boss said, Ortiz, you need to get shades. And why is that? He goes, your face is way too fucking animated. He goes, people can read you.
Yeah,
exactly. And he goes, so he punched me. And it's like one of those moments where it's like, I'm not chummy with this guy. We're not friends. Right. He's shown me on many occasions that we will never be friends. And so he strikes me. And fortunately, I had my shades on, because you know those moments where you feel like your eyes changed a shade of a color?
Yep.
Like, this means I need to whoop your ass right now. But he's a 60-year-old man, and it's just me, him, and his employee that probably needs this job. My word against them.
Right.
And if I beat the dust off this 60-year-old relic in his business, I'm going to jail.
Crazy.
I'm baffled by the fact that this guy that we're talking to right now can think through things like that in
a
moment.
Right.
I mean, that's literally your police training.
You have to.
I'm telling you, man, like there are so many people that I know, probably me included, that would not think like that in the moment. I mean, maybe a 60-year-old man, I would think it's not, I don't want to beat down an old man, but like, I mean, shoot, dude, the rage that fills you up. I mean, any guy can understand, like you get punched, you're not going to take that stand down unless you're just a pushover. And the fact that you were able to think through that process and stuff in that moment, and even think about her, which is like, you know, she probably needs this job. I'm just like, I don't care. I'm going to murder. I'm going to murder.
I was brash when I first started. I was a loose cannon when I first started. This took a lot of training and 15 years of marriage. And, you know, so, but, the thing is, too, is, you know, I don't know who you worship and have faith in, or if you don't or do, but the creator, he gives us all a God-given talent. And I think mine was an ability to, you know, engage in these possibly violent situations and think them through in the most tactical way. That's got to be my own talent, because it's certainly not writing, talking, comedy, or anything else. And I'm working for FedEx. So, but yeah, I think he gave me a talent. And, what it boils down to is, if you can, then you have the control whether you do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have the power to do it, then you have the choice to whether you're going to do it or not. Just like that guy who was stabbing me, was on PCP. I didn't want to kill the man.
Right.
I did want him to stop stabbing me. But when I got his knife back from him, I had control. Mm. Whether he stabbed me or not, I now had his destiny in my hands, literally.
Yeah.
So it's like, you have these choices, and if you have the power, you have the responsibility to act with it, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's a good lesson for us all to learn.
Yeah.
You know, once a situation is diffused, you have the power. And once you have the power, you make the decisions, you know, you've got to make it. And it's hard. I mean, this is why I don't drive during the day. This is why I drive at night. This is why I do line haul.
He knows his limitations.
Because I know my limitations. I sat long enough, and I did it, you know, years ago, way back when Tony was a kid. I did the daytime thing. I watched a couple of guys when I was sitting at a customer in North Jersey, and I watched a group of kids run past, and I watched another kids run behind them with a gun shooting at them. And I'm sitting there in my freaking truck, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I don't want to be seeing this. And you know what? It wasn't too long after that. I'm like, hey, you got an opening on line haul yet? You know, because I don't need to be here. I don't need to see this stuff. That scares the crap out of you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting there just minding my own business in the tractor, waiting for them to get done. And here goes one group of kids and another group of kids. And I'm like, why are they running? You know, so what the heck? You know, running right across the parking lot, and then a whole other group of kids. And all of a sudden you hear bang, 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 bang. And you're just sitting there like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to get my paperwork signed and I'm gone. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm driving around Newark, New Jersey, 9 o'clock at night, and I get a beeper. Oh, sorry about that. My beeper, this is years ago when we still used beepers. We didn't even have computers. I mean, you know, I get a beep message. I'm supposed to call the dispatch office. I'm in Newark, New Jersey. I get out of the truck to answer the beeper, so I had to go find a payphone. I mean, we're talking no cell phones. You know what I mean? I'm old. You know, so I go and I find a payphone. I call the dispatcher. He goes, "Where are you at?" I said, "I'm in Newark, New Jersey." "What do you mean, where I'm at?" He said, "What are you doing on the phone at 9 o'clock at night in Newark, New Jersey?" I said, "I'm answering your page. You paged me." He said, "Get out of there. Get back in your truck and get out of there." I'm like, "What the heck? You paged me, dude." And it's like he was surprised that I stopped, and I'm like, well, what do you know? I mean, is there a good section in Newark?
Back then, definitely.
No, it was the pager code, because you know, with pages, you had codes like calculators. You had 911. You had boobs. What was it? What was the pager?
It was 999. Give us a call right away. So I called him right away. He wanted me to call him. So you're in the middle of town. You find a payphone.
This is the 90s.
What they needed is a
separate code that said, call me when you're safe.
Or exactly.
Call me when it's safe.
Code 111 was call when you get to your next customer. 999 was, we need you to call you right away. You know, give us a call. We need whatever. So you find a payphone and call.
Wow.
You know, I mean,
payphones, I don't think we need to full on get rid of them. I think it's crazy that's happening, because there's many situations where these phones don't cover, and it only happens when you need them too.
Yep.
And it's like, and another thing it's funny too, is when you see a payphone in public, you always see people using their phone to take a picture of a phone.
Yes. Of a payphone. Yes. Yeah. And I remember using them. You know, I remember actually looking for a spot to pull over with the big truck to actually make a phone call.
Yeah. I remember dialing the operator and doing a collect call to you and mom to come pick me up.
Exactly.
You know, and all that stuff, man.
Collect calls.
Yeah. I would accidentally on purpose miss my bus ride home so that I could hang out with some friends after school.
Yeah, accidentally
and
on purpose.
We would go down to like the dollar store. I think it was called Newberry's though. And we would steal things out of there and like candy and stuff. Right. And this one, the guy who worked in there, hey, whatever, I'm 35 years old now.
You know why your show is called The Confessionals.
Yeah.
So he's got to go to confession.
We would go in there and steal stuff like candy and whatever. And the guy that worked in there caught on to us and he would follow us around and stuff. And I remember the one time I was going to go in and steal candy and all that. And he was following us around and we always had ways of getting it done. And I just had this feeling. I was like, I don't think I should do it today. And so I literally was walking out of the store and he cuts me off and he's like, empty your pockets now. And I was just like, okay. And I started showing everything in my pockets and he's like, oh, I leave. But I was like, listen, you know, like God was on my side even when I was stealing.
But anyway, that's why I don't drive during the day. I don't have the patience for it. When I got out of it 20 years ago and I started doing line haul, I have not been happier since. You know, I mean, I've been happy from that point on. It's like I just don't have it for the daytime stuff. I don't know how you guys do the daytime stuff, the dealing with customers and all of that stuff and traffic. And I mean, it's bad enough just dealing with traffic at rush hour in the morning when I'm coming back, you know, from my run. It's like that's enough.
No, in the 6 years of doing it with pickup and delivery, mm-hmm. I never became a day person. You know, when I was pursuing law enforcement, it was always graveyards and swings. And, you know, you got to get up at the crack of dawn to get out there and get your truck. And like there were some routes I'd work that were really rural. And, mm-hmm. you know, with COVID, we got a surplus of volume. So we ran out of vehicles to service some of these areas. So we'd have to rent them. And I tell you what, you know, I've made peace with my God. If it's my time to go, I'm ready to go, you know, kind of thing. And you have to be on these rural routes because you're driving a blank rental truck out to somebody's marijuana grow. Wow. And then 20 people come out that don't speak a damn lick of English and you're delivering somebody's fucking chewy, you know, you have to make peace with your God out there.
Yeah.
That's just how it is now.
Yes, I believe it.
And you did that. You were delivering to a marijuana grow in an unmarked FedEx truck.
I know.
But I mean, when I read that, I already know where this story is going then, because like you can't do that. Like you have to be marked when you're doing something like that. Those guys are protective. How'd that all wind up?
We got cartels out here too. It's widely known. There's certain roads like I'm going to throw a road down out there, Donkey Mine Road out in Oak Run, California. And that just keeps going. It just keeps going up a hill. And there's some residents on there that are just people that are living there, but there's definitely cartels out there. And I remember I pulled up to one and I was lost. Like it's funny is these people out there, they don't put their addresses up. And when I go to deliver them, I'm like, you know, I had to knock on three doors to find you, which by the way, for all you out there, that's above and beyond. Otherwise, we just take it back. We can't find the address. It's not posted. There are city ordinances by like the fire department that demand you post your address for mm-hmm. safety reasons. And, you know, it may not be law, but there's certainly ordinances. Most drivers will take that back. I myself, my route was so rural. I didn't want to come back here. I'm going to find it. You know, I'll go knock on some doors. But, you know, there's some people you end up finding the house. You're like, hey, you know, and I got to be really passive about it because if you get a complaint in SMEDX, customer complaints are non-disputable, by the way. So if you're upset because there's some crumbs out of your Chewy box and you make a complaint, well, they're going to find the contractor. And most of the time the contractor goes after the driver to break even. And in some cases, they're going to take like $200 out of your check. Yeah. So, you got to be really passive about these things. And I'd come up, knock on the door, say, hey, Did I miss your address down the street or something? Or did I just not see it and drive by it? And, you know, just letting them know that I can't see this address. And they'll be like, oh, no, I don't put it up because I don't want to be found. And I'm sitting there in my head, then don't order shit.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
So, you know, I'm going down here. I can't find this one address. It's way down there. I end up giving up on it. But I pulled up to this gate. And it's the only driveway with, like, a black iron gate. And, I didn't see people when I pulled up, but when I pulled up into the driveway to the gate, people walked out from like, there's these like brick you know, where the gates are supported on.
Yeah.
He walked out from behind it. And I said, hey, is this so-and-so address? He goes, he tells me he doesn't speak English. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to find, does this name look familiar? He goes, wrong place. Keep going. Wrong place. I go, but do you know anybody? Wrong place. I'm like, ah,
I got
okay.
You. Yeah.
Copy.
Yeah. I got that.
Yeah.
There's another road that was, something Mill Creek Road. Ooh, really bad one too. It's so steep that these sprinter vans they use for these rural routes, they don't have the track. You know, they get the one wheel drive to send me out there and with street tires, and they expect me to make it down and back up. Okay. That's a no go. We call that the hole. Even the police tell us not to go there. And I'm going down there. And this guy ordered a Schwinn bike, and it needed a signature. And the post office, they were usually pretty good about taking things like this if we can't get there, because most of them have a P.O. box. But we're like buttonheads, and I don't get that. I don't get why the post office doesn't take packages for FedEx, because right now, UPS and FedEx are crutching the postal department or postal service right now.
Right.
They have such a burden that we're taking their smart label stuff, and we're getting paid half the price for it. So they don't want to take our stuff. At all, if we need to, you know, a little scratch back here or there. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I'm taking it down in the hole, and it's a bike, and I can't find the address. It keeps going, and there's no real address down here. There's just more and more tents, more and more grows. And I feel like I'm getting into the heart of the Congo down here. So I'm backing up, going back up the hill, and then these trucks start coming down in the opposite direction. And I stop one. I'm like, hey, do you know so-and-so? He goes, no English, and keeps driving. Go to the next one. You know so-and-so? No English. Keep going. This other guy, he's well-dressed, jewelry on, little gold on his teeth. And I said, hey, do you know so-and-so? He goes, I don't speak English, brother. You should probably head up the hill. I was
like, good advice.
Gotcha. Heading out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's
dude.
Crazy. Like, wow. That's like, I got it. Message, yeah, message received.
Yeah, ten loud and clear.
Do you want receipts on that message? Because I'll give them to you. Like, yeah. It's been delivered.
I definitely feel like he was looking at me like, does he have both of his testicles? Because we could sell that down in Mexico. Yeah. By the way, a testicle is $42,000 right now in the market. I've considered it.
Listen, I don't even know if I should take that as sarcasm. Are you serious? That's the going price in the black market?
I might consider it.
I was saying, there you go.
I was lucky to keep them in the divorce. My wife still has part custody of my nuts. I get to see them on the weekends.
Only for arranged date nights.
By the way, there's no tattoo down there. This is my only tattoo.
Oh my gosh. This is great. All right. Let me get one more story out of you from driving here. You got a co-driver that has bad hygiene. Go.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to go for the UFO one.
No, we'll go into that, but I want to get the driving one done.
Okay. All right. So this is my first experience in over the road, and this is the worst introductory, and I'm not going to throw names out because he's a sweet guy and there's some things you just can't control. And I had just come out of working public safety in the hospital. So I have a very keen nose for the smell of MRSA. It's like a spoiled milk kind of smell. And, me and him, you know, co-driving with somebody, it's like a marriage. You know, if you don't hit it off really well, there's no chemistry, we're not going to survive the next 2 weeks. And right away, I was met not with his name or his, you know, who he was, but with his breath and his body odor. And I'm really big on hygiene. If I can, and I'm planning a trip, I'll try to plan a truck stop if possible.
Right.
I don't really like to baby wipe bathe. It's, you know.
Yeah.
I'm native and Spaniard. We can't do that very long. It can't happen. And so we have like this ancestry thing. No go. You know, it was fine in the jungles, but not now. But anyway, so we're powering down, and like I'm up on the top bunk, and another thing that bothered me is like, he's getting down in his skibbies, whatever. He needs to get comfortable. That's his thing. I'm not saying anything, but I smell the smell of spoiled milk. And I'm like, hey guy, I think you got like spoiled milk in your fridge or something. He goes, no, I don't got any milk in there. And as he's saying that, I'm opening the door, seeing there's no milk. And I look down and his leg is covered in what looks like MRSA. And that's the smell.
Wow.
It's just foul. And I didn't say anything to him. I'm just like, I need to text my driver manager. I need off this truck because MRSA is contagious too.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think they're aware of this. I don't think he was even keenly aware of it. And that was another thing too. I was planning our trips after, like, I tried to tough it out. You know, I tried to do the 2 weeks and, I was planning our trips at truck stops so we could shower. And, he goes, you know, brother, you don't always have to plan the trip at a truck stop. We can go without a day without a shower. And I'm like, I didn't want to say it, but it's like, yes, I can, but not you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? Wow. And so there was one occasion where we go in, you know, taking a shower. We're in the Midwest there. And I go in and he takes a shower. Like you can, you know, some of these showers are right next to each other and you can hear like the water running.
Right.
Well, I'm taking a shower. I'm doing full body shampooing, face, all that from under, whatever. And it takes me about, you know, 15 minutes roughly to get it done.
Yeah.
And this guy was done in 5 minutes. I kid you not.
Wow.
And I get out of the shower. I'm getting cleaned up, shower and shave, and I'm walking out. His hair is not even wet.
Well, that's awesome, isn't it?
What'd you wash? Certainly not your nuts, because that's what you still smell like.
Wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't do good team driving, man.
No,
I wouldn't do good team
driving. That would be tough.
The adjustment you have to make with somebody in such a close quarters. I mean, like, you know, I mean, Tony, of all people, you know, apparently with the whole wife thing, I mean, it's even hard sometimes to adjust to living with somebody in your own house, you know,
and the truth.
To do it in a truck, man, and especially like you don't even pick the person, like most of the time they're assigned to you. No, thanks. I'm out.
Yeah, but you're married so long, they go from being your wife, your girlfriend, your spouse to like your person, and you're adjusted to all their quirks and all that stuff and what they like and what they don't like. And you get in so long, you're like, I don't really want to take the time and energy to learn somebody else. This is my person. This is who I'm going to wake up with tomorrow. This is who I'm good with, you know? And being like 36 now, back in the dating world, I was married when I was 19 before social media.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they can just whip out their phone and it's like the character select screen on Street Fighter and pick the next side Sancho they want to hook up with if they had the slightest disagreement. Oh, there's no ice in your Long Island iced tea? I forgive me. Oh, yeah. Next. You know?
Yeah. That, honestly, I don't envy you, man.
Like, nope.
Because I'm in a similar boat. I've been with my wife since we were 18. We got married at 21. I'm 35 now. And the idea of possibly having to ever look for, like, I told Lindsay, if she for God forbid anything ever happens to her, I'm not interested in dating. Nope. I'm not interested
in shit show. It's bad.
It's just not like the idea of trying to, you know, get comfortable with another person, find their quirks, they find mine, and see if I can live with that, only to find out I can't and have to start all over with another person until you find somebody you want to marry. Like, nah, I'm good. I got my two kids. I'm just going to live single and you know, save the money. So
it's rough. I mean, in the divorce, it's pretty rare in California, certainly, but my kids are all with me. And I'm single dadding it. I have an 18-year-old, I have twin 14-year-olds, and a 5-year-old. And, you know, it's rough because, you know, I got my daughters that are like my pit bulls that guard over me. But it's funny because you got the single women out there who have kids, and they want you to adjust to that, which I'm cool. I got kids. I've been doing it for 15 years. I know how to plan around that kind of stuff. But, and they like a dad with kids that's being a dad on paper. They don't like it in action. Yeah. They don't want to have their attention, you know, that should be for them, when he's putting the attention on his kids. So it's very hard, exceptionally hard for a single dad, especially when you have to explain that, like, oh, you know, I can't come over tonight. It's my kid's night. I'm having dinner.
Right.
Well, you know, they get upset with that. It's like, it's a weird situation for, you know, especially someone like myself. It's definitely a no sell.
I can just picture them saying, at some point you need to decide me or them. Them.
Decision like, made. See ya.
Like, I can see it.
Because, you know, the thing is a woman
of, too. Like, that's another thing, too, is you don't, in this day and age, there's new terms like ghosting and everything. And I didn't know what that means. My children have had to explain things to me. That I'm like, why do you know these things? Like,
yes.
I'm not even going to go into why I had to have unicorn explained to me. You know?
Oh, I don't even know what that means either.
I don't either, but I don't know if I want to know.
I don't know if I want to know.
Yeah. So it's like, I had to have certain things explained to me. And it's like, you know, like there's one gal I dated you know, we hit it off really well for like 3 weeks. And she's talking about, I need you to move in 6 to 9 months. And I'm like, whoa, pump the brakes there, Thanos. I have to run this by my kids. They have to be okay with this. Right. I'm not looking at moving in with anybody at least till a year plus. You know, my kids have to be okay with this person, whoever it is. And in 3 weeks, that's a bit much. Yeah. And then she's talking about getting a surrogacy. And it's like, are you okay with, you know, getting a background check and a blood test? I'm just like, am I in the fucking Twilight Zone? Like, no, I'm not okay with that. And she goes, why? Do you have a problem getting a background? I'm like, I pursued law enforcement. I got a cleaner record than most people in this county, and I could sell my fucking urine. No, I'm not afraid of doing that. It's just a bit much.
Yeah.
It's like, you're asking way much. Yeah. Just tell them that you're not with anybody, you know?
Yeah. Dude, man, that's crazy.
Wow.
Man, 2021 dating with Tony, man. That's crazy. I don't envy you, brother.
I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'm married 32 years. I mean, I could not imagine having to start over.
If I had any advice for anyone thinking about divorce, I'm going to tell you right now, do not. If you need to hit the factory reset button on your husband, beat the hell out of him with a bat in the night when he's sleeping and work it out in the morning.
Do not get divorced.
As much as this, you know, me and my ex-wife went through, I mean, she's on the opposite end of the spectrum going, gosh, most sane person I've been around is my ex-husband. And I'm sitting here on this other end of the spectrum going, most sane person I've been around is my ex-wife. So, yeah, it's
it's crazy. I mean, I never thought about it because, you know, what the heck? I'm happy.
Social media is a poison. I mean, everything's good and bad in its own.
Yeah.
But it puts this false image out that relationships need to be fairy tales over, you know, just lofty expectations that cannot be met. In the real world is just not present in social media. And there's just a false facade that women are falling for in social media.
You know, what's sad is that, and this is just from, you know, an old guy observation. You know, honestly, if you think that the person who you're going to date or you want to marry needs to meet these expectations, you have to look in the mirror and ask yourself, do I meet the expectations that I'm laying on him? Yeah. Am I, whatever, Sleeping Beauty? You know, am I the princess from the
inspection?
Exactly. You expect him to be this thing, but you you're falling short over here.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you have realistic expectations? Mm-hmm. He's a human being and so are you, and you're going to fail him and he's going to fail you. Yeah. And if you're not okay with that, don't get involved.
Yeah.
Turnaround in marriage nowadays is going up. Why? Yes. Because there's so many methods of getting out of it. You know, 1920s, 1930s, it wasn't so high. Because why? Because you're so rural. This is the guy that's taking care of you. The next guy may not be able to. Yeah. There wasn't child support then. So you couldn't just go, I'm a tough lady. Yeah. I'm going to do it on my own with the government backing my expenses. You know, you can't do that. You couldn't do that then. You had to make it work. This guy's an asshole. Okay. Tell him why he's an asshole. And if he didn't, hit him with a frying pan if he's not going to fix it. You know?
Yo, we had a family friend back in the day in Kutztown, Pat and Al.
Yeah.
And Al's face was really bad. Like, I mean, it was like really distorted. It looked like it was a birth defect, but it wasn't. And I used to go down. It's so funny. Like, I was so like so much an outcast among my peers in that trailer park that I found a friend in this old guy named Al. And I would go over to their place, and they had snakes, and I think they even had like a pet fox. It was just exotic animals, and he would let me come over and just spend time there to get away and just like a safe spot. And he told me that I guess he had an ex-wife, and they got an argument, and she threw a boiling pot of hot water out the window as he walked by on his face and melted half his face off.
He shouldn't have been told twice to do the dishes.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yep.
I was like, holy crap. I'll never forget that. Like, and it all makes sense because, like, when you're a kid, you don't want to ask what happened and stuff. He volunteered the information, and it's just like, whoa. So that's why your face is so messed up. But, anyways, listen, I want to move on here to two more paranormal type things. And you have a UFO, you said a close up encounter with a UFO while you're on patrol. What happened?
Okay, so I'm working for this federal contract. And by the way, anything I say here, I wasn't sworn into secrecy for. There was briefings that Homeland Security provided us, and I'm not touching on any of them. So anything I'm going to tell you, there was no debriefing afterwards that I was told not to, you know, there was no gag order, you know. So there's this place, this car powerhouse out in, it's the western part of the county in Shasta County. And we have to go check on that. We were federally contracted protective services for the Bureau of Reclamation. And, so powerhouse is one of our assignments, and I was the lucky one that got it in the AM hours. We're talking 3 AM and whatnot. And the way I'm going to tell this, I'm going to sound like the most unobservant officer there is, but this shit happened in a way that I couldn't have observed it, you know, appropriately. So I'm pulling in, and I don't know if I could set this setting for you, but when you pull in, there's kind of like a park area, and it does like a loop. And you can go out and fish in the water because it's a hydroelectric power plant, and they pull water off the hillside, penstocks from the top of the mountain that run down into the power plant that turn the turbines, kick the water out into the lake. So I'm pulling in here, and the whole thing we're doing is making sure nobody's in the park, no loitering around the power plant, nothing like that. That's our assignment through this contract. And I'm pulling in, spotlighting, and there's no cars in the parking lot, nothing like that. And very thorough check. It takes about 15 minutes, and it can be done quicker than that. So I will go park around by the side of the power plant, and just so I can have a full shot of the park area, the hillside, the penstocks, and just sit there and, you know, watch for movement. That was my assignment. I have to be there for 15 minutes. So I came in, I did my patrol as expected, and I went and parked. Well, I look in the parking lot, and this is where I just came from. I came from the side of it, but I was able to get a clear shot of it when I came in. There was no vehicles, no lights, no nothing in this parking lot. And it's about the width where you could drop a helicopter in the parking lot. And so I'm parked on the side of the power plant, and I'm looking over, and I'm seeing red and blue flashing lights. And I'm thinking, oh, there's police here. Well, in these federal areas, we have jurisdiction. I need to know what's going on. And so I start pulling over there. As I'm pulling into the parking lot, it looks like there's two police cars at an A, like an A shape, you know, sitting in the parking lot. And as I'm pulling up and I'm pulling up on them, I don't hear anything. And I don't see no cop cars as soon as I start pulling up. And these lights start going like this, right above my Ford Escape. And I'm looking up like this. And immediately I'm like, this was 2010. So this ain't no silent drone. This isn't something that's publicly accessible. And you certainly cannot fly a drone within 5 miles of the airport or any airport in this area. And there was definitely an airport close by. So, as soon as I'm driving by, it just, these lights lift off the ground, go above the tree line right above me, and then go in a north direction. And I'm looking at times now because, you know, I've listened to George Norrie, the Travis Walton story. I'm doing timestamps right now, like for missing time. And I right. start calling on the radio. Hey, I need a status check in 5. Status check in 5. I get static back. I'm like, oh, hell no. I got a 9mm Beretta on me. It is not going to stop Mars attacks. Okay. Yeah, right. So I am gassing it out of here. I've already identified what I think this is. I'm getting the hell out of here. And I've never been more scared in my life. And I'm calling over the radio like, I need a status check in 5. Finally, somebody comes back, says, copy, status check in 5. And I'm pulling out of there, and there's a bridge as you leave. And this thing, it was like the speed of would be like a jet. Goes right over the top in a west direction.
Wow.
Same size. And it made no sound. None at all. Like these Ford Escapes, they're like hybrids. So when you're going at a certain speed, you can't hear anything. Mm-hmm. They got to make like an artificial noise just so people know you're passing by. Nothing. And I get back to the our post. He didn't status check me. Like, I'm checking my time. I get back. And no lost time. 15 minutes took me to get back. I gas that thing. And he's like, what's wrong? You look like you've seen a ghost. I said, I'm good. He goes, so you check the car powers? Yep, I'm fine. And I go, here's the keys. Gave him the keys. He gets in the keys. I'm panicked as shit. Like, you know, I'm thinking, am I getting an implanted memory or something like that? What's going on? You know? So I get on the phone, and it's a landline, and I go to call my ex-wife, and I completely don't care the fact that these lines are all monitored. Everything we do there is monitored by 3 different agencies, visually and audibly, you know, or audio wise. And anything you say, you know, you have headbutting government agencies there all trying to screech over. It's like you make so much damn good money there, but you are a bunch of high school girls trying to bust each other on what you say in front of the audio. But anyways, I'm on the phone. I'm like calling, like, I called my ex-wife and I told her what happened. And she's like, are you okay? You know, talking me through it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. like clockwork. The next day, I'm getting, you know, dressed down because they release the firearm to you in the morning and all your equipment to go on shift. And I get asked to stay. I know what it's about because I realized as soon as I went home, I screwed up. I used the phone, you know, but I didn't have service out there on my cell phone. This was like a rural area covered by mountains and whatnot. And my chief wants to talk to me. So he pulls me aside and he goes, so, and I didn't tell my partner at all what I seen. The only person that heard it was my ex-wife and whoever was on the other line monitoring. And I don't even know if anybody was monitoring that night, you know, but he pulls me off the side. He goes, so what'd you see out there last night? And this is where I'm thinking that thinking ahead, like the next words are going to decide whether I have a job tomorrow.
Yeah.
Whether I have to go to a psychological background with a federal investigator. So I'm like, oh, I saw some lights out there. He goes, what do you think it was? I think it was an alien. I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, chief, I'm not licensed or qualified to assess aerial phenomenon or vehicles. I couldn't tell you. He goes, do you think it could have been a helicopter? Could have been. He goes, what do you think it was? He goes, what do you think it was? And I said, I am not qualified to assess aerial phenomenon or vehicles. That is my official statement.
There you go. That's the right answer.
Wow.
That is crazy.
Wow.
Wow is right.
How close did you get to that thing?
I'd say it was about the size of two standard CHP highway patrol helicopters.
Wow.
I didn't feel anything, obviously, as in a vehicle, but I'd say that as I was pulling up on it, it was probably a good 10 feet lifting as I went by. 10 feet ahead of me, lifting as I went by. And it went right over the top of me.
Wow.
So
you got a good view.
Yeah. So I don't know how long it was there. I mean, I speculate, like, was it cloaked? I mean, was there more? Definitely. I mean, I had different encounters out there, and I hated going out there. I absolutely hated. And, you know, I think back to George Norrie and Art Bell, and you hear that they're attracted to power plant facilities and stuff. Yeah. So definitely a commonplace.
I live literally
a bad vibe out there.
I live 5 minutes from a nuclear power plant, and I do deliveries down there. And I hear stories of them talking about UFOs showing up around the towers of the plant and flying around them and stuff. And people in the area say they see these UFO things flying around the stacks and everything. You're absolutely right. It does seem like they're attracted to these power plants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a bad vibe out there. You know, like my family, they're the local natives from this area. And we got a lot of lore out here. You know, you got Sasquatch, which they call the Red Devil. And they're not, you know, Sasquatch not looked upon, friendly upon, and at least in our tribe. Right. There was some creature that waited till the hunters went out hunting and came in and abducted women and children. So they call them like the Red Devil and stuff. Definitely not good lore for these creatures here.
Yeah. Yep. I heard that too. That's interesting. Now
that's crazy.
I was literally talking to somebody yesterday and I told them that I don't get a ton of black eyed kids encounters coming in, and it makes me feel like maybe they're not as common as some people would like it to be. But you actually do have black eyed. Well, you called it black eyed youth, but I'm assuming it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the same principle.
Yeah. So run the scenario with the UFO thing at the power plant again.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. And I'm parked over there watching the area. Now there's pinstocks that run off this hill. It just creates pressure to push into the turbines so it can turn the turbines, provide power. There's all kinds of interesting structures out there. There's this thing called like a surge tower too, where it's a big hole in the top of the hill that equalizes pressure in these pinstocks. Anyways, that I digress. So I did my search and I have to go right by these pinstocks. Like I spotlight these pinstocks all the way up the hill. I have to go right by them within like 5 feet of them to get to where I'm going. And I'm parked right there and I'm looking, and there is like this youth perched on one of the pinstocks like a freaking bird does. You know how they like, you know, do that whole deal? Perched on one of these pinstocks, just in shorts, blue shorts, if I remember, like a mesh style, perched there. I'd say he was probably like 6'4", 6'5", at least, no more than 140, 150 pounds. And he's sweating like profusely. And just doing the whole mile long stare, And I see him, and it's like 3 a.m. You ain't supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. I got to find out what the hell's going on. So I drive over there, and I hit him with the spotlight. And that's like defensive tactic, because he can't see me now, and I can see him. You know, he can't see where I'm sitting. The light's hitting in him. It's obstructing his view. So I pull up next to him. I spotlight him. Said, "Hey, how's it going tonight?" And he starts walking up. I'm like, no, sit down, you know, out of caution. I unbutton my firearm just out of caution, because I'm in a sitting position. I'm in a seatbelt. Now I have to undo my seatbelt, unbutton my firearm, at least so I'm in at least some kind of capable defensive position. And he's walking up. And I said, no, go ahead, sit back down. Hey, you know, the park area here is closed at 10 p.m. He shakes his head and he's looking around. I'm like, "You okay?" Oh, yeah. You know, you look like you're sweating a lot. He goes, "Oh, it's running." So where are you running from? Mind you, Car Powerhouse is probably about at least 10 to 12 miles from town. And it's out there, and it's not easy to get to. We're talking highways that you're not even, it's restricted for pedestrian passing. Mm-hmm. So, and it's 3 a.m. It's 3 a.m. So I'm like, "Oh yeah, where are you running from?" He goes, "Oh, from my house." And there's a dirt road that runs behind the powerhouse. It's like a logging road. I never ventured down it to this point. He goes, "I'll live down that road." I go, "How far?" He goes, "Not too far, just right down the road." I was like, "So you're just out jogging?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "Okay, well, park's closed. You know, you got to move along." He goes, "Okay." So he walks the opposite direction though. But he's leaving. That's all I need. He needs to be gone. Weird vibe off this guy. As far as I could tell, he would not look me in the eyes. But when he did, I can't tell if it was black eyes or his irises are just freaking huge, but he would just like, he wasn't looking at me. He just like do one of these where he could see me peripherally. Mm-hmm. Granted, I did have a spotlight on him. Total odd vibe on this guy. Body language off the chart. So the next day I'm like, I got to go see what's down that dirt road. I got to confirm this kid's story. You know, I got to follow up with this. I mean, if he's down there, they at least have to know this is federal property. He needs to understand, you know, what's okay and what's not. So I drove down that road in this little Ford Escape, and I got down there 10 miles. And I still hadn't seen anything. I started getting down 15 miles. I'm running out of space to turn. There's nothing down this road. There's nowhere for this kid to come from like this. And it's not like you're going to run a marathon at 3 a.m. and practice for anything.
Yeah,
especially in the middle of the night, you know, what the heck?
3 a.m.
That is crazy.
That witching hour. Holy, that's that witching hour.
That's when the veil is thinnest.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, definitely got a weird vibe off him. Yeah. I mean, I'm not somebody who's jumpy like that. I mean, if I need to get in a scrap, I need to get a scrap. But another thing, too, is like when you're carrying a firearm, I've been trained, too. When you have a firearm on you, that not only is a weapon for you, but that's a weapon for your adversary. Sure. If they were to unbuckle that from you, it's now a weapon in their hand. So you have to treat it with respect as such. And so it kind of escalates no matter what. If you have a firearm in play, it escalates the tension for sure. Oh, so it was like, you're approaching my vehicle now, you know, now I have to be ready.
Yep. Wow.
Woo. Tone. This was fun, man.
It was. This was awesome.
You had some good stories, bro.
Oh, my word. And you tell them great. You're a great storyteller. I mean, you convey the message, and it's interesting.
Yeah, that's what the judge said at the divorce hearing.
Oh, man.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And Dad, if they enjoyed it, what can they do?
They can share the stinking show.
Share the freaking show.
Share it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Share it wherever you share stuff. Just share the show. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. And we hope if you enjoy the show, you'll share the show.
Absolutely. And that's the best thing you can do to help the show grow, is just share it around. So if you enjoy it, maybe somebody else will enjoy it as well. And that's how we grow. That's how you keep us operating. So thank you very much for sharing the show. Thank you very much to Tony for joining us and talking to us about his crazy experiences. Really cool perspectives that he shared today. So thanks a lot, everybody. And until next week, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane. Give me a room.
Prairies, rocky mountain highs, fade off into the distance like ghost riders in the sky. Black smoke and white wine, steel horses side by side. It's more than just a living, y'all. Hell, it's our way of life. We're the last of the cowboys, the giddy-up gone boys. 18 wheels on the concrete, it's a slow and dying breed. Rolling like Jesse James, a modern-day outlaw gang. If you're out here riding with me, come on back and make some noise. We're the last of the cowboys. It's a family tradition, diesel's running through our veins. Daddy showed us the ropes, we were born in the fast lane. Branded by our heroes, taught to saddle up and move. Keep this country rolling, we're damn proud of what we do. We're the last of the cowboys, the giddy-up gone boys. 18 wheels on the concrete, it's a slow and dying breed. Rolling like Jesse James, modern-day outlaw gang. If you're out here riding with me, come on back and make some noise. We're the last of the cowboys. Time generation, a little old school salvation. Blazing trails across this nation, sea to shining sea. We're the last, we're the last, we're the last of the cowboys. Go boys, 18 wheels on the concrete. It's slow and dying breed, rolling like Jesse James, a modern day outlaw gang. If you're out here riding with me, come on back and make some noise. We're the last of the cowboys.